Well, there's obviously lots of things going on in here, and I wondered if, maybe we don't really need to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, and maybe we should talk about some of these other things. And yet, I kept being brought back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the greatest thing. And as I pondered this, because the Holy Spirit usually makes things quite clear for me, but doesn't always tell me why. But I began to think about this, and I thought maybe it's mostly or entirely because in this current culture we're in, everything is so divisive, is so everything, that maybe we need to visit this again, and maybe we need to talk about the greatest thing. Because the Bible doesn't use what is often referred to as totalizing language, which is sort of ultimate kind of language, greatest, as much as we might think it does. But Paul does here. And Paul talks about these three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And then says that of those three, the greatest is love. And I thought about that, and I thought, if it's the greatest, why is it so hard? And then, also thinking of that, I thought, if you want to become great at, say, oh, I don't know, Sudoku, crossword puzzles, soccer, whatever it is, the way you become the greatest is by doing it, is by practicing. There's a study out there, frequently misquoted and misunderstood, that says if you do something for 10,000 hours, you'll become an expert at it. If you practice it for 10,000 hours. And it's true, but what most people don't know is what the study says is that those 10,000 hours are dedicated practice that has feedback, that has new ways of moving forward, and a bunch of other things. It's not just doing something for 10,000 hours, it's doing these things and then looking to see how they work. Well, if we want to become the best at loving, at being loving people, I'm very grateful that Paul has given us some direction. Because what it does is it fills out one of the things that Jesus said was the greatest thing. Namely, the greatest command: love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. And then went on to tell a parable of who is your neighbor, helping everyone realize that everybody's your neighbor. And now we sort of jump over to Paul writing to the church in Corinth that had some challenges, to be sure, and say, this is what this looks like. And much like Paul's lists of spiritual gifts, this isn't an exhaustive conversation about love. This isn't everything that could be said about it. But it's a very good one in that it covers most of the things we're likely to run across. The preamble, or the first few verses, where Paul talks about how there are lots of things he could do or we could do, but if we don't have love, they're not as useful as we might think. And in his case, even says gained nothing. And then goes on for the part that is quite often read at weddings, which is a good place to read it, and not just for the couple who are getting married. It's good for everybody to hear it. And says, this is what love is like. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And I think about that and I look at it and I think one of the reasons this is hard is because patience and kindness is not rewarded the same way online or anywhere else as jealousy, boasting, making people angry. As I'm sure you all, well, anyone who's on any social media has noticed, the algorithm, the thing that says, hey, have you thought about looking at this, tends to be things that make you angry, because people engage with those things more than they do the other. It takes work for us to seek out images, stories, stories of patience and kindness, finding ones about people being jealous, boasting about what they can do, being rude. Those are easy to find. They seem to be sort of everywhere. But he says that's not where love is found. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. I really like that translation. This is from the New Living Translation. I really like that. That love doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Whether the truth is in our favor or not, love causes us to respond to the reality of truth and say that's what we need. That's what we are looking for, even if it disproves something that we thought already. And then love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I think that's a bit of an aspirational goal, as the language goes. Never giving up, never losing faith, always being hopeful, and always enduring. I can't say that I've been perfect at that. I have not done all of those things. But what I will say is that as I have realized that the God of the universe loves me, and then from there it loves you, each of you, not you as a group, not human beings as a group, but us as individuals. As I've tried to internalize that and understand it at the deepest level possible, what it has done is it has helped me to not give up, to not lose faith, to be hopeful and to endure. When you love people, you're more likely to stick with them when things aren't going well or they're not doing what you think they should do. All over the place, we will, if we're willing to look for them, we'll find stories of people who have had horrible things happen to them, and their family members, rather than walking away from them, have stayed with them. We see that in some places in the world where to be identified as any part of the LGBTQ2S community is a problem. It's dangerous to your health these days. And yet often what we have seen are parents, siblings, relatives, and friends who stand with this person because they love them. And because love is of profound importance and sometimes is even more important than our very own lives. Jesus says in another place, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for their friends. Love is not, that doesn't happen all the time, of course. That's not the norm about acting in a loving way. But one of the realities of loving people is that sometimes we need to do things we wouldn't do otherwise. I've had friends who are in recovery who, when they were coming to grips with the fact that they had an addiction, they needed to do something about it, that their non-addicted parent said, let's go, I'll come with you. I'll come to an AA meeting, an NA meeting, or whatever A meeting it might be, and I'll sit there so you'll know for sure you've got somebody there that understands you and knows you, and you have an ally until you can figure out whether this is good for you or not. That's a difficult thing to do for some people. But we do it because we're trying not to give up. We're trying not to lose faith. We're trying to be hopeful and endure. And that's why this is all the greatest, is because it goes so much beyond the easy and beyond the norm, beyond all of those things that come to mind first, at least for me. I don't want to speak for anyone else, but even as I work hard at learning how to love people more and be a more loving person and be more present and all of those things that can be difficult, as I do them, they become slightly easier. I often don't want to do them at first. I don't think that's unique to me, but I can't speak for anyone else. There are times when I don't want to do those things because they're going to be hard. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any that I regret doing. It was as I went into them that I was worried about them. On the other side, I wasn't worried that I had done that. I'm just glad that I was given what it is that moves us forward, to move beyond ourselves, to move beyond our simple and often rather selfish desires, to do what somebody needed me to be, to do, whether it was a family member or a friend or a stranger. In these days where everybody's trying to make us angry about something, responding in love isn't easy, but it's possible. And responding in love is what we've been called to do. Jesus said those are the greatest things that we could do, is love God and love our neighbor. And Paul gives us some ideas of what that looks like. Unfortunately, knowing all of these things doesn't make it easier, but it does remind us that it is possible. And so as we go from this place of thinking about Scripture, I hope the thing that sticks with us is that we can act in love, even when we don't want to, even when it's hard, even when there's no reward, because there is a reward, and it's becoming more and more the person that we were created to be as we become more and more like Jesus. Amen.